11-year MLS pro Quincy Mariquois here, and you're now listening to The Perfect Soccer Podcast, where your host goes one-on-one to get to know your favorite professional soccer players, both on and off the pitch. Because how better to learn what it takes to become a pro soccer player other than directly from pro soccer players? Today's episode is brought to you by PerfectSoccerSkills.com, the number one and only platform you'll ever need to connect with and learn from pro soccer players. Learn more and enter to win weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to PerfectSoccerSkills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today. With that said, please enjoy today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Perfect Soccer Podcast. Our special guest today is Jeff Antonella. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no worries, man.
All right, let's just go back in time a little bit. What is your first memory of playing soccer?
Oof. Honestly, I think my first memory of playing soccer is probably the day that I said I would be a goalie. So when I was 9 years old, I think I was seven. Whenever I was playing U9s, back when they had U9s, I tried out for the club team. You know, I did the rec circle and I tried out for the club team. And the coach asked, you know, we don't have a goalie. So does anybody on this team think they could play goalie? And at the time, you know, when you're younger and, you know, athletic, I was just like one of the kids that liked to run around. I was fast, but I raised my hand because I said I used to play baseball, or I play baseball, I play basketball, I play these other sports. So I think I could probably play goalie. And then from there, I never left the net. So I really think that I remember it. I remember exactly where I was, the field, the circle. It's funny how certain things in your mind stick out like that. But that's probably honestly the first memory that I have playing soccer. And obviously it was a decision and a moment that meant, you know, kind of changed the course of my life pretty dramatically.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then you brought up other sports, which I was like asking, do you think playing other sports helped you in soccer?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for the goalkeeper position. You know, you're talking about different things, whether it's rebounding in basketball, footwork in baseball, playing catcher in baseball. I blocked it. I played shortstop, which was a lot of footwork. You know, you talk about playing actual football as well. I was a quarterback, so you kind of get that leadership ability out of it a little bit. So for me, I felt like playing all these other sports was a huge part of what it took for me to become a goalkeeper.
Dang, so you played all the sports.
Yeah, I like to do a little bit of everything. I'm a really big sports fan. And, you know, soccer ended up being the sport that stuck with me. It was the one that I felt like I had the best shot of making a career out of it. And really, you know, my goal was to go to college with it. Mm-hmm. So big fan of all the sports, love watching all the sports, love playing all the sports. And, you know, it just so happens that soccer was the one that stuck.
Yeah, for sure. And then just going back to high school and like the recruiting process to college, like, What was that like for you? And like, I guess, what was your like final schools to decide from?
So the recruiting process for me was an interesting one because I decided at a really young age that I didn't want to do the ODP circle. You know, I didn't want to dedicate all of my time as a youth growing up into soccer because I played all these other sports. Mm-hmm. And whenever you do the ODP side of things, you know, you've really got to commit to doing it year round, going on all the trips, being a part of all the cycles. And then I actually didn't make it when I was 10 years old. So at that moment, I told myself, I'm never trying out for this again because I felt like I should have made it. And, you know, it was one of those things where the coach's kid got picked in front of me and all that stuff. So I told myself, I'm never doing this again. And I'm not going to play any of these. I'm not going to do ODP or these types of things. I'm going to play these other sports. So I really didn't commit myself to soccer until about my sophomore year of high school. That's when I was really solely focused on soccer and decided to make that my year-round effort. So that obviously hurts you when you're going through the recruiting process. But I was very fortunate that my junior year in high school, that the school I ended up going to, USF, came out to watch a game. And at the time, USF was in the Big East. USF was the big school around the state of Florida when it came to soccer. And so I was fortunate enough to get a recruiting trip there. And ultimately, that's where I ended up deciding to go. But throughout my recruiting process, I wasn't really sought after by a lot of big schools. I went to a couple of schools in North Carolina, a couple of smaller schools in Florida, and a couple of the academies, you know, Navy and Army were recruiting me as well. But, you know, in terms of being sought after as a high school player, USF was by far the biggest school that was recruiting me. And that's ultimately where I ended up going.
Yeah. And then what about, I know you kind of mentioned it before about, you know, soccer being your wrestler, but did you, was there any point in time either in college or maybe before that, that you knew you could be a pro?
Not at all. Not at all. So for me, I really didn't think I could be a professional soccer player up until my junior year of college. So, you know, when I got to college, I wanted to push for the starting job, but my freshman year, I kind of knew that I wasn't going to have that opportunity and that I wasn't ready for it. And then come my sophomore year, I started feeling like I could be a starter for a collegiate team. And, you know, I wasn't really sure where my opportunity was going to come because at the time our college had a really good starter in front of me. But at like about a quarter of a way into that season, I ended up winning the starting job at USF. So I was named the starter at USF. And then that year we went on to win the Big East and I had a pretty good season. And that was really my first taste of college soccer and having success at a pretty high level. And then my junior year, the team didn't do as well. I think we got knocked down the first or second round of the NCAA tournament, but I was actually named a first team All-American. And then once I was named a first team All-American, that was the first time that people started talking to me about like, hey, you know, going to play professionally is a real option and it's going to be something that's going to be put in front of you. So you needed to figure out if that's something that you want to pursue or, you know, kind of how you want to navigate that world. And at the time, you know, that's when I was like, oh, okay, wow, I can really turn this into something. I can make this a profession. Of course, I want to pursue this and take this as far as I can. So I did, I switched majors to make sure I could graduate and get out of there on time and started really making moves to make sure that I was setting myself to become a professional. But it really wasn't until I got named All-American in my junior year that I really even considered that a reality.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. Cause it's like, I interviewed like a bunch of players, like over 80 guys now. And it's just like everyone's different. Like some people are like, yeah, I knew at like 10 years old. And then some people are like, oh, I knew in high school. Some people are like, oh, I didn't even think I was going to go pro. So it's like a wide range. It's funny to just hear it. It's like, cause you guys are at the, you know, one percenters and it's just like, it's just crazy.
I think that my goal was always, you know, I didn't grow up in like my family didn't really have like a professional athlete, you know, athletic type of background like that. So for me, my goal was always to get a scholarship to college, to use, you know what I mean? Cause it's one of those things where, especially as parents, let you commit so much of your time to getting your kids to practice, getting your kids to this, making sure it's a huge time commitment on your family. And I, you know, growing up, I really felt that the best way that I could honor my family was to get a scholarship to college. And in my opinion, that was what would make it all worth it. You know, the time and the sacrifice and the dedication and the chance to play collegiate athletics was the thing that would really put it on top. Mm-hmm. And anything after that was just like, you know, kind of stuff that you dream about, but I wasn't even really dreaming about it because I didn't really think about it as a possibility, you know, and that was up until my junior season of college.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then take me through your journey of going pro. I believe you started in the USA.
Yeah, so it's funny, you know, during the MLS draft, I was projected to be like a high first rounder, one of the first goalies taken off the board. And for whatever reason, it didn't really work out that way. So I ended up getting taken in the first round of the supplemental draft, which is pretty much like the fourth round of the MLS draft. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of that was my first really dose of what professional soccer is like. And it kind of hit me right off the jump. You know, you're getting told that you're going to be a high first round pick, and then you end up not going until the fourth round. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting taken by a team, by Real Salt Lake, and then, you know, kind of packed up and started headed to camp out there. But once I got out there, their goalie list was already loaded. And it was Nick Romando, who everyone knows who Nick Romando is. Kyle Reynish, who had a very, very long career as a backup in the MLS. And then the third string goalie at the time was Tim Melia, which, you know, Tim Melia ended up being one of the best goalies in MLS. So it was a really loaded goalkeeper room when I first got out there. And they were training. This was in 2011. And this was when RSL was getting ready to play in the knockout stages of Champions League. So they were in full go mode the second I got out there. And, you know, I'm just a, you know, just finished college. I'm just a rookie goalkeeper going out there and I'm stepping into a world where this team's already getting ready for Champions League. And to be honest, you know, I was really in over my head. So within the first week and a half, 2 weeks of preseason camp, I kind of realized that I wasn't going to be making the roster with the goalkeepers that they had there. And you know, just kind of the way that their roster was set up, it'd be crazy for them to carry four goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. So within about 2 weeks, I had a conversation with the coach and pretty much just asked for some honesty if I was going to make the team or what he was thinking, because if not, I needed to make a move and figure out what my next move was going to be. And fortunately for me, I had a team in my hometown, the Tampa Bay Rowdies, who I had trained with before. I'd worked really closely with. And, you know, kind of the second that I found out that I was going to get released from Salt Lake, they were my first phone call. So I called them and, you know, fortunately they were holding a roster spot for me and they offered me a contract. So was released from Salt Lake, signed a contract. And at the time it was the NASL with the Rowdies. So I signed a contract with the Tampa Bay Rowdies and the NASL. First year was the first year I really got my feet wet and playing. The starting goalkeeper at the time had an injury. And then, so I took over the starting job there. And then my second year in Tampa Bay, that was kind of really the year that propelled the rest of my career. It was, you know, I was a starter for the Rowdies. We won the NASL Cup. I ended up saving 3 of 4 penalty kicks in the final game. And, you know, it was cool because I got to do it in my hometown. So it was one of those things where, you know, I was able to put together a really good season for this team that ended up winning a championship. And it just so happens that, you know, it was in my hometown. So it made it pretty cool for me. And then from there, after that second year that I was on the Rowdies, Real Salt Lake called me back and offered me a contract. So I signed a contract with Real Salt Lake. And then once I got there, I was, you know, kind of like that second, third string guy. And then towards the end of my first season at Real Salt Lake, we ended up making the MLS Cup. And I was fortunate enough to be on the bench for that. And then, so I spent the next 3 years backing up Nick Raimondo, 4 years. So I spent the next 4 seasons backing up Nick Raimondo in Salt Lake, getting my opportunity to play when he would get called into the national team or, you know, the World Cup was during that run. So I got a good stretch of games during that time. And about probably like midway through my fourth year, I was really ready to go because it was pretty obvious that Nick was going to be the starter there until he decided to retire. And, you know, I didn't want to just be a backup for my whole career.
Yeah.
So the GM made it possible for me to be picked up in the expansion draft, which my agent gave me a phone call and said, you know, if Minnesota takes you in the expansion draft, and this was in 2017, it was Minnesota and I forget, and Atlanta coming into the league. And so, you know, that was back when expansion drafts were kind of more of a free for all.
Yeah.
So they said, you know, if Minnesota takes you in the expansion draft, they want to trade you to Portland. Is that something that you'd be cool with? And at the time I was like, hell yeah, man. Like Portland's one of the most fun places to play. You go to that stadium, you go to that environment. At the time, it was really one of the main cities that cared a lot about soccer.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough to get picked up in the expansion draft. It was funny. I was actually in Las Vegas at the time at a players union meeting and I didn't really know what was going on, but I was fortunate enough to get picked up in the expansion draft. And then my career took me out to Portland where I spent the next 5 years. And, you know, it was a very up and down road for me in Portland. You know, I got the starting job towards the end of 2017 and we went on a really good run, made the playoffs, ended up getting first in the West. And then in 2018, you know, a new coach came in and it was one of those things where I wasn't really sure how much he liked me. Wasn't really sure if he was going to like my playing style, because anytime you get a new coach, you just never really know. But you know, we were able to put together a good year and we made it to the MLS Cup final and I was the starter for that one. So it was a really good, you know, the first year of my career that I was able to really cement myself as a starter in the league. And then kind of the injuries started happening. So in 2019, I separated my shoulder too many times. So I needed to get that surgically repaired. And then kind of the downside of it was in 2020, obviously there are a lot of downsides, but the day the pandemic hit and shut down the league was just so happened to be the exact day that I got cleared for full training and full recovery.
So,
you know, I get cleared for full recovery out of that. And then, you know, the pandemic shuts down the world and, you know, so you're not really able to play anymore. So I spent most of 2020 being the third string goalie. And then 2021 comes and, you know, I was fortunate enough to get myself back in a starting position. You know, the starting goalie at the time, Steve Clerk, was dealing with a bit of an injury and, you know, I'd played well in preseason. So I was getting my opportunity to play again. And, you know, we went to Champions League, we went to Azteca and we were able to rip off a few wins and I was feeling really comfortable about my playing time. And then kind of one of those dumb luck things again, you know, away our home game versus Seattle in a derby game and went to kick a ball out and something called your rectus femoris tendon. It connects your quad to your hip and mine just snapped in half. And, you know, that was kind of the end of it. That was the end of my season. And at the time, you know, I was really doing a lot of thinking about life and where I wanted my life to take me. And that's when I decided, you know, at the end of that season was when I decided to retire and come back to Tampa. So it was a career that, you know, my career had a lot of ups and downs. And I think, which a lot of goalkeepers will tell you the same story, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you're flirting with being a starter, being a backup. And if you're one of those guys that's going through that process, you have a lot of highs and you have a lot of lows. And, you know, my career path was a lot of fun. And, you know, it took me to some cool places. I love my time. Obviously I love Tampa. I'm living here now, but I love my time in Salt Lake. I love my time in Portland, but you know, as far as my career goes, I wish it would have been a lot more here instead of the roller coaster ride. But you know, those are the types of ways that you grow as a person. So I look back at it and I wouldn't change anything because it's really helped me become, you know, ready for this next stage of life.
Yeah, I was going to say, since you like were a backup and a starter, like how was the preparation different? And like, even like as a backup, like how did you prepare? Like, well, what if it was like you didn't play for like weeks or months and then you had to play in a game?
Yeah, as a backup, it's one of those things where you train really, really hard. Yeah. You know, you go through the week of training and you treat every practice like it's a game, or, you know, you're going through different drills and really trying to get as much game-like experience out of those drills as you can. And for me, I was pretty lucky to be backing up Raimondo because I spent a lot of time watching him.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a ton of time just sitting there watching the way he prepared, watching the way he played in games, different things that he did. And you know, he and I ended up being really good friends. So I would ask him a ton of questions all the time and he always had no problem answering them for me. So when I was a backup, I just learned and tried to stay ready as best I can by training, you know, really, really hard. And come game day, you always think that something could happen. And it's, you know, it's always kind of one of those things that's in the back of your mind, but you go into the game days and you're not, you know what I mean? You're not like tense about it. You're kind of trying to be a little bit more relaxed so that if something were to happen, your number was to get called, that you're more of a relaxed state of mind as opposed to being like wound up super tight. Cause I always felt like that was when you would make a mistake. Mm-hmm. But when you're going through the starting process, everything's just about trying to stay healthy and keeping yourself sharp because you're playing every single weekend, you're playing every single game, and that's where you get your experience from. So when I was starting, it was, you know, train hard 1 or 2 days during the week, but the rest of the time it was making sure that I was taking care of my body and really just getting myself mentally ready for the game. Because come game time, it's, you know, it's that nice combination of relaxed, but your adrenaline's also pumping through the roof. So it's trying to find that balance of how to make sure you're able to keep a steady head when you're playing, when your emotions are kind of ranging that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I just think it's like, it's just like when you think about like backup quarterbacks and they don't play like all season and then they have to like play that one game or whatever. And then, you know, sometimes guys get like big contracts off the one game. So it's just like crazy. I like things like that work. And even just like looking at your career, like the more you played, like the better you did, it looks like. And like, do you feel like, I know you kind of said like the ups and downs and stuff, but do you feel like if you were a starter your whole career, like things would have been like different and you would have been like at a higher level?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, if you look at the guys that were young and playing consistently, and they were given the opportunity to make mistakes and they were given the opportunity to grow in the position without, you know, the fear of getting benched. That was the thing that differentiates my career from those guys is I never really had the opportunity to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, I never really had that opportunity to grow into the position where I felt comfortable enough that knowing that if I made a mistake, that the next week I was still going to be the starter. And when you have that luxury as a goalkeeper, especially as a young goalkeeper, it allows you to get the type of experience that you need to be successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my path was my path and it just didn't work out the way that it did for some other guys. But at the same time, like years, if you're allowed to have a couple of years of going through growing pains and they look at you more as a long-term investment, as opposed to an immediate quick fix, then you're going to get the experience that you need. You talk about quarterbacks. It's the same thing as a rookie quarterback, right? If they throw a rookie quarterback out there and they say, hey, listen, this is a year that you can learn. This is a year that you can grow. Yeah. And then year two, it's like, hey, we want to see you get a little bit better in these areas. But then come year three, it's like, okay, experiment time's over. Now you've had the chance to get games under your belt. Like, let's let it rip. It's pretty much the same for goalkeepers. So I do think it's something where had I been in a different situation, then my career would have been pretty different. But you know, that being said, when I got my opportunity to be a starter in Portland in 2017, I was 29 years old, which is a prime age for a goalkeeper. And then 2030 and the 2018 season, which was really my career year that kind of put me on the map as somebody that could, you know, play at a really high level in Major League Soccer. we made a cup final, and you know, I was getting phone calls from teams in Mexico to go play in Mexico, and you know, things were really happening. I was just pretty unfortunate that, you know, the injury bug caught up to me, and you know, I wasn't really able to see how far I could take that momentum that I had. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. It's one of those things where when you play goalkeeper, you run the risk of getting injured. But at the same time, like, the guys that get the opportunity to play at a young age and make mistakes are going to have better careers usually than the guys that, you know, career backups that kind of have to make the most of their one shot that they get and hope that it kind of pinballs into something else.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, yeah. And just to what you call it, just like, you had a 9-year career, which is, you know, super, I'd say, I don't even know what the average is in MLS, but I know it's like only a few years. So yeah, I know you surpassed the average. So that's always dope.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to get to 10 years in the MLS was my goal. I ended up getting 9 and then I got the 2 with the NASL. So I played 11 years professionally, which is, you know, it's a solid number. Yeah. But you know, I chose to retire, which, you know, which I think that if any athlete can say that they chose to retire, that they walked away with their head held high and it wasn't it wasn't something where they couldn't find a team or anything like that, then they'll feel pretty good about their career and what they were able to accomplish.
Yeah. Then what was that like? I know it's only been, like 3 or 2 years. So how's the transition been from, going from pro athlete, I guess, to a not pro athlete anymore?
Yeah. I mean, it's different, you know, it's very, very different. It's one of those things where I made the decision because I'm very fortunate that I had a very full life waiting for me back in Tampa. You know, my wife's family is here. My family's here. We have a lot of friends here. We have a family business here. So I had a lot of things waiting for me, when I retired, which is good because it's been something that's been keeping me busy. And I think that, you know, more than anything, I think that having an idle mind when you're going through a life transition can be really hard, because then it leaves you a lot of time to wonder what you're doing. So I was very fortunate to have this very built-in structure down here in Tampa that I knew that I was coming home to. But at the same time, you know, you go through a lot of periods of really like trying to figure out who you are and really trying to figure out, you know, what your value is to the game of soccer still. Do you want to still be involved in soccer? How do you really want to shape? Like, what does your life look like post-retirement? In a way that makes you happy, but you're also being able to provide for your family and, you know, kind of check the boxes that you were getting out of soccer. The one thing that I will say that, you know, post-retirement, I have stresses, but like, there's no stress like the stress of being a professional athlete and having to perform at that high level every single day. And, you know, kind of the fear if things don't go well. And, you know, if you're losing games and, you know, the emotions that are involved with being a pro athlete, those haven't really existed for me, which is nice, because those were things that I wanted to step away from, because it is very, very taxing mentally and it can be really taxing on your family. But you know, as far as being retired, it's kind of one of those things where it's one day at a time. I'm learning a lot. I'm learning, you know, I get a ton of emails, which like I've never gotten emails before. You know, getting used to answering emails and, you know, really being on a schedule that, you know, I work and I have my own schedule, but at the same time, when you're playing, everything's kind of drawn up for you. You have practice at this time, you have meals at this time, you have a team administrator who's telling you everywhere to be at any given moment. So it's one of those things where you step out in the wild a little bit and walk into this world that everybody else has been living in, and you're playing catch up. And that's pretty much what I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to learn how to manage my own time, how to manage family time, how to manage work time, how to get everything accomplished while also being in charge of my own time management, which is something new. So that's something that I think I wasn't really ready for. You don't really realize what the world is like outside of sports until you really like fully dive into it and step outside of it. And then you can quickly realize that everybody else has been living that world for a long time and you don't have a clue compared to everybody else. So that's kind of where I'm at, but it's been good. Like, I'm finally, you know, I'm 2 years into it. We're you know, the company, my family company, is really based around football, American football. And so things are about to ramp up for us here, which I'm ready for, which last year I wasn't. So just like playing, it all comes with experience. And, you know, so now I have a year and a half of this experience under my belt, and I feel like every single day it gets a little bit easier.
Enjoy learning what it takes to become a better player from professional soccer players? Well, how would you like to work with professional players one-on-one? Now you can with Be Pro by Perfect Soccer. Head over to perfectsoccerskills.com/BEPRO to apply to work with our network of pro players today.
Yeah, so what, I know you have a publishing company, right?
Yeah, used to. So we had a publishing company. I wrote a series of children's books when I was playing back in 2017. They were all based off of historical moments in sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wrote them in the form of Dr. Seuss nursery rhymes, with the idea being that if you're a diehard sports fan like myself, you want to read stories about your favorite sports teams to your kids and try to get them to fall in love with the sports team, right? Because it's all about trying to get your kids to cheer for the same teams as you do.
Yeah.
But you know, the business side of the self-publishing world is very challenging, and it takes a lot of time. But we have a lot of other fun things going on down here that I'm kind of dedicating my time to, but we'll see if I'm able to revive the children's book business at some point in my life.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. So what's the other business that you currently have?
So we have a t-shirt company, boom, the Messi shirt. This is my favorite one of my favorite ones we got going right now. So we have a company down here called Smack Apparel. We do a lot of fun t-shirts for rivalries and you know, really like t-shirts for the diehard sports fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our main business is football, because like everybody knows in this country, football is the thing that kind of feeds the beast. Yeah. So we're doing that company, and I do a lot of the, you know, I do a lot of the social content. I do a lot of the branding and really trying to build out the image of what the company is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been in business for 25 years. So it's you know, it's been around a long time, and you know, my side of it is the marketing, the brand building, and you know, the social content stuff, which is stuff that I really enjoy. And then we also have a kickball league down here, which is fun, an adult social kickball league, which is fun. You know, it's something different for adults to do. And then, you know, in terms of the soccer world, I'm working with a glove company called Renegade GK. They're a new company. They started in 2017, and I'm doing some brand ambassador work for them, really trying to sign professional players and you know, get some more goalkeepers wearing their gloves at the professional level. So that's been a lot of fun. And I'm doing some broadcasting with the USL, which has been a good experience for me. It's been fun to call games and you know, get back involved in the soccer world that way. And I also recently picked up my scouting license from US Soccer. So I have a lot of different things going on. But for me, it's been a lot of fun because it keeps me really busy. And like I said, you know, with the glove company Renegade and the broadcast in the USL, it's been my unique and fun way to stay involved in the soccer world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think that if you're playing professionally for that long, you do yourself a disservice if you don't stay involved in that world somehow. And, you know, I've kind of found my own unique way to really enjoy it and stay involved in the game as well.
Yeah, no, that's dope. So yeah, you got a lot of stuff going on. At first you were a little humble about it, but you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, if you email me or something, I don't get back to your email, I apologize. Cause like I said, man, I went from having like one email account that was just like my personal, yeah, that nobody ever sent emails to except for marketing emails. Now I got like seven of them. So it's,
yeah,
it can be hard to keep track of, but you know, I'm kind of one of those people that I need to stay busy. I need to keep my mind going, especially when it comes to the Smack Apparel stuff, you know, like I'm doing a lot of content creating and things like that. And, you know, I like to try to be funny. I like to be funny on the internet. I like to make people laugh. So, you know, it's one of those things where if I see something that's a funny thing that I think I can make into content, I have a lot of fun doing that. Mm-hmm. But when your mind works that way, it's kind of one of those things where it doesn't really ever turn off. So I like to try to keep my head busy.
Yeah. No, for sure. I feel like sometimes I have to like tell myself to just stop thinking about stuff and just like,
yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. like the kids, I got two kids and they do a good job of, I'm trying to be mindful of, you know, when you're spending time with kids that they deserve all your attention, and that's a good time for me to turn off. But, you know, I'm really enjoying the stuff that I'm doing, and I'm really having a lot of fun, you know, creating new content, broadcasting games, and trying to sign players for this glove company. So, you know, got a lot of things going on, which keep my mind running pretty consistently, but I'm having a lot of fun doing it. So, you know, I'm going to try to figure out how to piece it all together.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Are you ready for the five Quincy questions?
These will be interesting. Yeah, I'm ready. I love Quincy, man. I've seen him at a couple of events. So He's a great dude.
Yeah, definitely. What was the most important skill or quality that has made you successful as a pro player?
Oof, I think my leadership and ability to communicate. I was always one of those guys that I always felt like a goalie never needed to be somebody that was really outward. It was one of those things where a goalkeeper needed to be kind of like a silent, strong leader of the people in front of them. And I think that a lot of the success that I had in my career is my ability to lead my back line and kind of get them in the right positions and get them to play for me. So I think that was a quality that really helped me get pretty far in my career.
Definitely. What's the biggest mistake you think pro players are making?
I made this mistake, and I think that the biggest mistake pro players are making, well, I think it kind of goes both ways. So I think that there's a side of a pro player that is probably too focused on the outside opportunities, which, you know, it's one of those things where there's so many different opportunities for pro athletes now to build their own brand and to build out their side of things. That the thought that, like, if you slip up in your playing career because you're focusing on other things, that's a detriment to everything you have going on. So, like, remembering that being good at the sport is number one. But also on the flip side, I would say that if a pro player isn't preparing for life after, especially if you're a guy that's not making millions of dollars and making enough money to set yourself up for the rest of your life, that failure to prepare for life after and network and make those connections that can help you in life after is also a massive mistake. So it's kind of one of those things that goes both ways.
Yeah, you gotta find the balance for each.
Exactly.
And then that's why it's kind of like, that's why it's interesting too, because there are, like, you know, a few athletes that are like, like, for example, I forgot his name, but Paul, I forgot, the hockey guy, he was like a fourth liner.
And Bassinet. Paul Bassinet. Yeah, he's hilarious.
He has like the most followers in the NHL, like, actively at the time. And so I was like, funny, because, like, he didn't play that much, but he had the most followers. So it's just like a weird, sometimes there's like that weird, I guess, anomaly of a
it's one of those things where, you know, if you got to have an understanding of the role, you know, he probably understood that he was in a certain role that he could carve out his own path as, like, the funny guy. Yeah. And it wouldn't really do a detriment to him. So, you know, credit to him for doing that, because now he's, you know, now everybody knows who he is and he's hilarious, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I think going back to it too, like, I feel like everyone is always like the backup quarterback is like the best job. Because you're
it's
in the NFL and you're like,
yeah. For sure. But it's one of those things where, I mean, for me, to be honest, part of the reason I retired was because of the injuries and because I was at where I was at in my career. I knew that I was going to be a backup. And it's, like I said, it's totally different. Like, if you're a backup in the NFL if you're a backup NFL quarterback and you're making $10 million a year to do nothing or to just be ready, you're going to do that until they tell you you can't do it anymore. But for me, it was one of those things where the money wasn't good enough, and my competitive drive was one of those things where it was like, all right, once I'm not starting, or like once I know I'm not going to be a starter in this league, or like that ship has sailed and I'll be a backup who's kind of bouncing around, that's when I don't want to play anymore. Cause I was always about trying to be a starter and trying to play. So, but I definitely get that if you're an NFL backup quarterback or like a backup NBA bench player that never sees the court and you're like 7 foot and you still get paid, like, you get paid like $5 million a year just because you're so tall. Those are the types of things you ride out for as long as you can.
Yeah, definitely. The NBA money is crazy. Like, baseball used to be the top, but like NBA is just insane right now. I mean, obviously,
it's stupid.
Soccer, but like, yeah, NBA.
It's stupid. I was going to try to make a funny video that was like, like my kid, me scrolling through all the different salaries that these free agents I've never heard of as signed. And then me just like tossing my kid a basketball and being like, here you go.
Or you just make a video and you're like, yeah, guys, you know, I retired from MLS, but guess what? I'm trying out for the NBA now.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. I'm going for it.
All right. Back to the Quincy questions. What advice would you give to a young player?
My advice to a young player would be, don't lose faith in your process. Like, don't lose faith in your journey, because I think that a lot of young players I run into, they reach a certain age, and if things haven't been going the right way for them, they're very, very eager and very, very anxious to really overhaul a lot of things and like throw a complete curveball into what they're doing. Yeah. And the one thing that's hard, like you definitely have to go out and take control of your own career at certain points, mm-hmm. because there are situations that as a young player, if you see the writing on the wall and you think that I absolutely have to get out of this situation, there are certain moments where you have to take your career into your own hands and make those decisions. So definitely know that going into it. But at the same time, like, don't get caught up comparing yourself to, you know, that other guy on the other team who you think you're better than, who happens to be getting all the minutes, because your situation is very different from his. And you can't get caught up in things like that, because it's only going to take away from the amount of effort that you're putting into what you're doing. So just stay focused on your own journey. And you know, just know that if you're putting in the work and doing the right things, then, you know, more times than not, that honest effort and that honest work gets rewarded eventually. It might take longer than you want it to, but you know, it's one of those things where if you stay your own course and don't get distracted by the outside of what's going on or what somebody else is doing or comparing yourself and getting anxious like that, just kind of stick to your own journey and stay confident in the way that you work to, you know, carve out your own path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right. These next two could be, you could answer them in soccer terms or life terms. What is something most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Aliens.
What do you think about that new alien stuff?
No, I'm just kidding. I guess now they are confirmed.
Aliens are real?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. Like, I don't see why not.
I don't want to read it.
I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I don't see why they wouldn't be. But let's think. So something that other people think is true that I don't think is true. Oh, I don't think that all goalkeepers are weird.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think that all goalkeepers are weird. Yeah, big time. So everybody says it like, oh, goalkeepers, they're all weird. Like, I've met a lot of, like, I've definitely met some weird goalkeepers, don't get me wrong. But like, I've also met some like really chill, normal, just really normal dudes that are all good people and not weird at all. So I don't think all goalkeepers are weird.
All right. What is something you would move forward with if you weren't scared of what would happen if things didn't go well?
Oof. What is something I'd move forward with? Oh man, that's a good question. Honestly, if I didn't care at the end result of the amount of work that it would take to accomplish this, I would probably try to become a field goal kicker.
All right.
But it's one of those, but I think it's one of those things where like to think that you could just like pick up and become a field goal kicker because I used to play soccer, I think it's pretty naive. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd have to put a ton of work into it. And, you know, I got all these other things going on and I got my family and things like that. So it's one of those things where like, if I wasn't afraid that it didn't amount to anything, mm-hmm. then I would probably like really, really go for it.
Yeah.
And that's an answer that you're getting at an answer like off the cuff. That's a really deep question. So I'm trying to think of like a quick off the cuff answer.
I like that answer. Did you know, Josh Lambeau?
Yeah. Good friends with Josh Lambeau.
Oh yeah. So he did that.
Yeah, no, I know. He did it and he did it really well. He was at Texas A&M when Johnny Football was there.
Yeah, so that's like crazy. Just like looking up his career too, like what he did. I think he went back to college after MLS.
So he went to Dallas and then got loaned actually to Tampa, and that's where I met him. But then we reconnected this year and became pretty good friends. But so he went to play in Dallas. Things didn't work out in Dallas. He was like part of the whole GA, you know, youth soccer, whatever that system was that put you on the fast path to being a career, to being a professional at a young age. He was on that path and then got drafted by Dallas, didn't play, was out of the league quick, and then decided to go back to college. He went back to Texas A&M, started kicking field goals, and that just so happens that's when Johnny Manziel was there.
Yeah, that's great.
And then did well and, you know, had a great NFL career. So yeah, he's one of the ones that actually did it.
So maybe who knows? Maybe he'll just be feeling it one year and you're just like, I'm gonna just go try to be field goal kicker.
Maybe. I'm trying to get an NIL deal. I think that's where it's at. I can go be a college kicker and get an NIL deal real quick.
I wouldn't even think. I mean, I would assume it'd be easier.
I actually kind of just convinced myself to give it a shot, because if I can go back and do college and get 1 year at NIL, then I make money from it. I might get like a new degree or something. So
that'd be crazy.
So we'll see.
Well, if you do that, so we'll definitely have you back on to see what the experience is.
Yeah, we'll do.
Are you ready for the last couple of questions, the fun questions?
Yeah.
All right. Is it soccer or football?
Soccer.
Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi. Come on, man. Look at the shirt. Messi. Of course.
Who would you want to do a jersey exchange with, like an active MLS player and then like all time?
Messi.
Oh yeah, I guess that's it. Now he's
all right, but pre-Messi, I'll give you pre-Messi. Pre-Messi jersey exchange. I've got some good ones. Like I exchanged with Wayne Rooney.
Absolutely.
I have a New York City autograph of David Villa, Frank Lampard, and Pirlo, like all in the same jersey. That's like good MLS lore. Mm-hmm. Probably Thierry Henry. Like if I could have traded jerseys with anybody, Thierry Henry would have been either him or Zlatan, but I heard Zlatan was tough. Like I heard he probably wouldn't do it. So I'd probably say Thierry Henry.
All right. How about, would you rather have a Messi, like either PSG or Barcelona or Miami jersey?
Game worn?
Yeah.
Barcelona.
All right. Last one. Who's your Mount Rushmore of goalies all time? So top four.
American or world?
What do you know more of?
I mean, I know more Americans, but.
All right,
let's do Americans.
We got to support the MLS.
My Mount Rushmore of American goalkeepers. Tim Howard, I would have. Is it MLS or just American?
Let's do MLS.
Okay. So, I mean, I have to put Tim Howard on there because he had runs in the MLS, but like his play in the MLS, I don't think was Mount Rushmore worthy because he didn't put in enough years. Mm-hmm. But I have to have him up there. I'll have Nick Raimondo, MLS Mount Rushmore goalkeeper. I mean, gotta be Tony Meola. He's in the Hall of Fame. Gotta be Tony Meola. And last, let's think, who would fill that last spot? Brad Friedel's done incredible stuff. Casey Keller did incredible stuff. But I want to try to think of like a lifer MLS guy that should be up there. Oh, Stephen Fry would be on my Mount Rushmore. He doesn't get enough love for what he's done, Stephen Fry. I don't think he's ever won Goalkeeper of the Year, which is probably some bullshit, but like he's won multiple MLS Cups. He's been the starter for Seattle, which has been one of the best clubs in MLS history. So I'm going to give him some love on my MLS Mount Rushmore goalkeepers because he's been incredible and I don't think he gets enough credit.
All right. I like that. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and could you let the followers know where they could follow you at?
Yeah. So Instagram at Jeff_Atanella1. A lot of the stuff I do is with the company Smack Apparel though. So if you want to follow Smack Apparel as well, and if you are a goalkeeper listening to this, check out Renegade GK Gloves. We're kind of new, but the glove quality is awesome. And we are actively signing some professionals and, you know, trying to make moves. So those are all the different places you can check me out.
Quincy Mariquois here, and thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it with someone you feel will get some value from it. And if you could take a moment to leave a review of our podcast wherever you're listening and let us know who you'd like us to interview next, we'll get working on that right away. You can listen to this full episode and more at perfectsoccerskills.com/radio. That's perfectsoccerskills.com/RADIO. You can also enter to win free weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to perfectsoccerskills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today.